just the process of reviewing creates so much motivation for the year to come, because you realize, wow, we did have spiritual opportunities. Oh God, did I make the most of them? Probably not, because I didn't even recognize how important they were. We gave this much money. Man, I should keep my eyes open for the things that God wants us giving to. Oh, I've got to do that. Just walking through with this granular of a review, it just changes the posture of the family for the year to come. Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. Hey gang, we have a very exciting episode for you today. I think it's exciting. A lot of times Mark and I will talk about sort of the nuts and bolts or the theory behind running an Abrahamic family, running your home and dough like a biblical boss. And then sometimes we get to pull the camera back a little bit off of the details and actually look at a man or a family that's doing it. We've done something called that we call Abrahamic tent tours before. And the idea is, well, let's just look around somebody's house that's trying to do what you're trying to do. And how do they run? How do they set up their house? How does it work for them? Just ways to get inspired. Well, we have friends, Doug and Laurie Cushion, who live in Virginia. And Doug sent me a PDF of a year review document that he did with his family to walk through, well, here's where we all are in five capitals. Let's review the family vision real quick. And then let's consider what's happened over this last year, et cetera. People make goals, couples, that's the idea is that a family make goals. Then we go through the year kind of reviewing, well, where do we stand on these goals? Do they need to be adjusted, et cetera? Then you get to the end of the year, you do the summit again. What has God done this year? Doug and Lori have gone a step further, which is that they are incorporating their family into a summit weekend. And they have this great review, which Doug says in his mind, is to put together a slide deck. And he walks his family through that. I was so thrilled when I saw this. I just immediately emailed Doug and said, can we get you on? Can we just have an episode where you just talk about this? Because as you're going to hear, I think my family's in a stage where it'd be perfect for us to start doing something like this. So we're going to be walking through how he developed a sort of Abrahamic vision for his family, and then what this family summit looks like. Like how did he do it? And then let's talk about this slide deck you put together. And for those of you who are watching on YouTube, we're actually going to look at the slides and see what did the Cushions do to walk their family through the vision and the year. So I think this is very fun. I think it's inspiring. I'm personally going to use this information. I hope you do too. Here we go. Talking with Doug. Enjoy. Doug, here you are at long last. Listen, you, Doug, are best case scenario for what we hope out of people, which is you take some of the ideas and principles that we put out there. I don't know where you got your ideas and foundations. We're going to hear about that in a second. But then you have run with it and you have innovated. When we see people running down the highway and doing things that are replicable and helpful, I always want to just like throw out a sign to everybody and go, hey, just so you know, there's a tool here. So that's what I want to do by kind of highlighting what you've done with the year in review. So I'm very excited about you and your family. So would you just start by sharing with us, when did you kind of wake up to the family on mission, multi-generational Abrahamic idea? How did that happen for you?
Yeah, sure. So it's been a process, I think, God's been working on my heart for, I would say, the last few years or so. Our best friends has been kind of doing something similar, using some of Jeremy Pryor's info for like kind of a family summit the last few years. And every year, my wife, Lori, and I, we kind of say, oh, we should do that. Oh, we should do that. And just getting turned on to the Abraham's Wallet podcast and actually Outpost Advisors with you and Mark, going through your course on crafting a family vision statement, really inspired me, one, to to make a family vision statement and do that together with Lori. And then two, this year, knowing that you have this annual review that's usually designed for couples, wanted to take that and say, how do we include the whole family and bring them together to look at the year that we just got done in 2024 as reflection? And then what do we want to do together on purpose as a family to fulfill that vision that God has given us in 2025?
Awesome. So is this the first time you've done this?
Yes. Yeah. First time.
You get an A+ for first efforts. I think it's excellent. And it's so robust, if I can use that businessy word. I mean, I remember learning this so long ago. I think I learned it first on a basketball court, and then it was applied to business world, which is those things that get measured get done. And the things that you, when we set goals, this is kind of the magic of setting goals. I mean, it never occurred to me until we started doing summits to like write down a goal of, I want us to host people 20 nights a year or whatever it is. Yeah. It never crossed my mind. I just thought, let's just be hospitable. Okay, let's write it down. Well, now you have a scorecard and you can go, it doesn't have to be hosting. It could be whatever you want it to be. If you can be like, we're going to read through the New Testament this year, fine, yeah. Write it down and then set it as a goal. And so to have a report card on the family seems so logical, so powerful, and so motivating to me that I could see even if a 10-year-old sighs and moans a little bit through the first couple of annual reviews, you could just see the momentum taking place where you go, hey, we're going on the mission trip. Don't forget, this is one of the goals that we set last year. Oh yeah, it is. You know, it just seems so useful to me to have an annual review, report card, and benchmark set for what are we trying to do here as a family? Are we just kind of hanging around? Are we just going to go around the Christian merry-go-round and just assume we're just going to get a marginally better every year as we grow older? Or like, what are we actually trying to do? We do that with finances, right? We do that with businesses. We take strategy, et cetera. And so often we don't apply those kind of principles to family life. Is that something that you do naturally?
I mean, applying it to family life, no. Doing it personally, I would say yes, over time. I've definitely been a pretty big goal setter, and Lori's been a pretty big goal setter too. And we've done, again, it wasn't an annual review, but we've done kind of our own goal setting for the last few years. Okay. And one of the things we have done as a family is I've created a slideshow of all of our photos and just we've watched it at the end of every year just to remember and reflect on the last year. But it was really only this year we started doing goals with the kids. Again, we've talked about it in the past, but really writing them down and doing it in kind of an intentional way. And also definitely how their goals can ladder into our overall family vision. Yes. That was the first time we've done that. But I would say that Lori and I have a propensity to set goals, and I 100% agree with you. I forget it, but I know it's been referenced, this Harvard Business Review article, that just the act of writing it down, even if you never look at your goal again, your likelihood to achieve it is some X multiple times of just having written it down on a piece of paper once. And so those type of things have always stuck with me in terms of the power of goals and the power of setting intentions, because yeah, otherwise life just happens, like you said. And
right.
You wake up one day and you say, how did I get here?
Right. I was just at a friend's house last night, and they have the tradition that many families do where they go into Snapfish, they kind of take the greatest hits of the year, and they make a little annual album of the family. Now, I think that's really smart. It's not just kind of warm-hearted and cute. It's smart because you want your children to grow up knowing the story of our family. Mm. So I think it's very helpful. However, there's limited value in just going, what did we do? Better, let's just, if you are that kind of person, like, I want a memento of the last year, great. Why don't we level up on that and ask a simple question? What did God do? What did God do in the past year?
Yeah.
Why don't we harness the provision that he's given us, maybe the protection that he's given us? Well, then you can add another layer, of course, which is, what did we ask him to do? What did we set out to do? And then what happened? Well, now you're layering another depth of foundation for your children of, the story of our family is the story of God's activity, and we're actually tracking it. So that's super exciting. And I even look back and think, wouldn't it have been incredible since I was a kid, my children's age to the age they are now, to track something as basic and humdrum as family wealth? Mm. I promise you that thing has expanded dramatically in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And just for the children to see that and just to understand, well, every year we live below our means, we make the decision to be grateful, generous, to spend wisely, to save. And here's what happens. You know, it's all very powerful, the whole thing. Mark and I talk about the fact that a successful inheritance isn't handing $10 million to your kids. If you can hand $10 million to your kids, more power to you. However, we know that simply handing $10 million to a 21-year-old will probably ruin their life. If you can train a 21-year-old from age 6 to 21 to handle money in all of its aspects, to understand the multi-generational nature of family, and to understand that if I'm handed $10 million one day, it will be expected that I steward this and grow it over my lifetime in a way that blesses the generations. Okay, now we got something. So what I have done goal setting with my children individually, and I know that I'm coming into the age now where we have to incorporate them into a family summit. Like, this is one reason that I saw this and I just went, yes. I mean, I just immediately turned on, just like, yes, yes, this. And someday, as Mark and I have described before, I can see the transition where the summit, the family summit, I will go from being the leader with them as the auxiliary to them and their generations being the lead, and me and my wife being the auxiliary. We'll be the supporters as their family comes into their own. Well, when do you start that process? You probably start it around bat mitzvah age, a bar mitzvah age. You probably start that around 13. And the idea is I'm involving them in the inner workings of the family. You know, an 8-year-old doesn't need to know what the net worth of the family is, that they don't even know what those numbers mean. And they might blab them at school, not knowing what they're talking about. A 16 to a 21-year-old, if you want to train them to be ready to receive an inheritance, they probably should know the family's net worth, and so that they can calibrate everything that they're seeing around them and make sense of, you know, this. At some point, your children need to see your budget, and they need to see, this is how big the mortgage is. Don't you see how that's a lot of money that takes their, you know, we're trying to steward this. So I'm asking specifically, when it was ready for you to roll out, this will be family summit weekend or whatever you did, how did you do that? Where did you press play on the slideshow? Where in the weekend, et cetera? Was it a weekend? Was it a special weekend?
Well, it's funny enough, it was going to be a special weekend. And then we had to dial it back because we were going to go visit some friends a couple hours south in Harrisonburg that had moved. And we were going to stay with them, stay with some other friends, a couple that were mentoring, and go sledding in like a ski slope and things like that. Nice. And they got sick. The friends got sick. And they said, you probably don't want to come. We were super bummed because we had this whole weekend planned. We're doing it over Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. So we're going to do a 3-day weekend. And we had to pivot. So I actually have in front of me Cushion Family Goals Summit 2025 Plan B. So we adjusted and we try to have as much fun around the house and the neighborhood as possible. So we started on a Saturday, midday. And we did lunch at IHOP and just kind of set the expectations for what the weekend were going to be like. We were going to eat out a lot, have a lot of fun, but just around the house. We actually had came home and did some afternoon sessions. Then my daughter actually had a volleyball game, and we were going to skip that if we were out of town, but we went to that, did dinner and evening session, and then we were going to do something like go bowling and kind of have some fun there. And then Sunday we did breakfast, church, and then we ultimately had afternoon sessions, went out to dinner, got ice cream, and did a family movie in the evening. And then Monday, I will have to say that when we do it next year, we'll probably keep it to this like a day and a half, 2 days, because they were starting to lose them a little bit on Sunday right. Evening. But we had some stuff to finish up on Monday. So again, we just did breakfast together, morning session, and then like lunch and a closing prayer. And we did something fun in the afternoon. But that was what we did. So we took the weekend. We were going to incorporate some more, I'd say, bigger fun things, but ended up just sticking around the house. And
well, honestly, I like the example that you did it like staycation style, because it makes it a lower bar. And all you did was you protected a weekend. That was the main thing that you did, is you acted like we're going away this weekend. We can't take any other outside appointments. We're going to be here. And it turned out you could go to the volleyball game, et cetera. But this is a weekend that's for the family. It's the family spending time on the family. We're going to have a great time together. We're going to kind of evaluate what God's doing with us. It's so smart. Are there any things in these sessions that you're referring to that would be helpful to share?
Yeah, we used Abraham's Wallet as our guide. And we started looking backwards initially. And what we did was, you know, what were some of the biggest wins in 2024? And, you know, Lori and I kind of did them independently, thinking we'd write them down on that Google Doc. And then essentially we would ask the girls. And what we found at first is we were asking them in a group and we would say, okay, you know, Kaylee, what were your biggest wins? And the other two girls were like, hey, do I really have to sit through this? You know, maybe. I mean, so with Laura's wisdom and guidance, we kind of separated that out a little bit. And as the weekend went on, we were always together, but if we were going to dive deep with one of the girls, we would kind of pull them aside while the other girls are just reading or hanging out nearby, but not necessarily forcing them to pay attention and kind of go through things. Lori and I then kind of talked about like, what is each kid excelling at and how can we call their true identity out more in the Lord in 2025? Also, and actually I said I was going to share this with you today when I was prepping. I may have even gotten it from you guys. I don't know. But there's a question on here. What was the best thing we instituted with the kids that blessed our family tenfold this year? And it was reading Proverbs 31 to Lori at Shabbat dinner. We stop, we stand up, and we take turns every week. One of us reads. And man, they can pretty much recite. My three girls can pretty much recite Proverbs 31. Like, this is who your mother is, and this is the woman that you want to be. And I've encouraged my guys group. I encourage every guy I can that knows the Lord that I know, like, do this. I'm telling you, please do this once a week. It will bless your family, bless your wife.
That's excellent. I love that. I have to insert here on the Proverbs 31 thing. Justin Wolfenberg always says very wisely, if you read this over your wife, it can feel like a bunch of pressure to her. Like, there's this expectation of being this superwoman. Mm-hmm. And it's not a job description, meaning that we all fold our arms, pivot to mom and go, what kind of a job are you doing compared to this lady? It's a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of it, is to bless her. And what we're describing is the kind of future fullness that she's walking towards as she follows the Lord and serves her family. Mm-hmm. So it's just a blessing. And she doesn't have to fulfill every single one of the things. It's not a scorecard. It's a blessing. Amen. So I've got to throw that in because I think it's super good.
When we were doing the goal setting for 2025, then they had a bit of a framework, a reference point to the five capitals. And it's pretty cool because even, you know, my girls are 10, 13, and 15. They've got financial goals that they want to achieve. And they pretty much had goals in each one of the five capitals. So that was pretty cool. And then we did, and this is good, we're combining different sources, but there's a book about basically choosing your word of the year. And so we each kind of chose, prayed about and chose our word of the year. And then we kind of ended Sunday. And then day three was really getting into the planning, where I kind of mapped out the goals in a format that I like. I really like in the Abraham's Wallet Guide, this idea of mapping it out on a week. Like, what does your ideal week look like? And putting it on a calendar. And so, again, just took that idea, and we use Google Calendar in our family to stay in sync. So even the kids use it as well, so we know what's going on. So I basically created a fresh Google Calendar called like our 2025 goals ideal week for some of the rhythms that we wanted to put in place for family dinners and Shabbat and working out and things like that. So we added those in there. And then we ended up and did the wrap up consecrate time and prayed together and kind of went through it all. And I would say too, with the girls, Laura's really good about, I have these grand plans and she really helps me bring it down to like something practical that's digestible for each of the kids. And so she just had them get out a piece of paper and say, okay, we looked at kind of what we want to do for the year with each of you, but for them, it's much more tangible for them to set monthly goals. So they looked in each of the five capitals and just set one goal for January. Okay, this is my goal for January. And then at the end of January, we looked at it and said, okay, is this still applied? Do you want to change it for February?
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the drum roll is over. We want to get into the actual presentation. So what we're going to do is we're going to put up slides for the YouTube audience so they can actually see the presentation while we're talking about it. And for those who are not looking at anything, just doing audio only, I'll just describe as best I can what we're looking at here, because I think it's so cool. I'm just gonna leaf through it like it was in front of me. I'm just gonna leaf through it and then ask you questions, Doug, about it. Okay, so the cover is the 2024 year in review. So it's a postcard photo of the family in front of Cinderella's castle. Great. Slide number two is the family vision. And has this modified over the last year? Is this what it's been?
This is what it's been for a couple of years now.
Okay. Excellent. I think that's so good to remind the kids what the family vision is. I'm preparing right now for a bat mitzvah for my youngest. And part of my slide deck is I'm going to remind everybody what the family vision is, because presumably she's growing up into this vision. This is the way we want her to be growing. So I want that in front of my family. Step three, table of contents, bringing in the little business brain here. Now, step four, these are Kaylee's favorite memories of the year. Now you have a page for all three of the girls' favorite memories of the year, your wife's favorite memories, and your favorite memories. And it's just a collage of all the great moments of the year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this was super fun. Like this is what the girls get excited about and everybody enjoys. Like honestly, a year is so fast, but so long.
Yes.
For example, in Kaylee's, we went on a mission trip to Brazil, like actually a year ago today, but we forgot that was in 2024. It felt like it was so long ago.
Yes.
And so just to go back, when you start to think about, I almost feel like, at least for me, and my brain runs on like a 6 month history, unless it's jogged before that.
Right.
And so I was like, what happened? Wow, we did that in 2024. So I sat down with each of the girls individually and we pulled up our photos on the computer, and I had them scroll through and mark their favorite photos and write down their memories. And that's where I just grabbed a representative photo of each memory and tried to put them on there, because I'm like, these are the things of this year that were meaningful and we want to remember them. And so this was a really fun part, because I got to spend one-on-one time with each one of the girls.
Excellent. You kind of compiled everything on this page called For His Glory. And you just, I presume you just kind of walk through the calendar and says, here's all the important things that happened to us through this year. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, our family vision is Christians pursue the joy of the Lord by building bridges for others to experience the goodness of God. And so I really wanted to think about how did we fulfill that vision in 2024? And specifically, what are ways in which we served or gave above and beyond just our normal tithing or giving, but actually were the hands and feet of Jesus in doing that in 2024? And so, yeah, went through the calendar, plus the pictures, were reminded of things and kind of wrote all these different things down. And it was a great memorial or Ebenezer, if you will, to the Lord for what we did in 2024.
Excellent. Now I started getting really excited with the next slide because I was thinking, I don't know anybody that's tracked this and shown this to the youngsters. It says, for his glory, giving.
Yes.
We fulfilled our family mission. And now I guess you made a list of, here's the things that we give to and here's how much we gave. Is that what I'm looking at?
Yes, exactly.
That's so exciting. For the kids to see these numbers, this isn't chump change that you're giving, and they can see it. And you could tell them, that's the price of a car. And we gave all of these things. Why did we give it to these things and not the March of Dimes? Well, I'm sure the March of Dimes is a great organization. They just aren't pushing forward our family's mission. So our family's mission is these following things. And the kids might say, I didn't know we gave money to this, or What is that thing exactly? So it's such an opportunity to push vision forward in the family. Okay, tell me about this slide.
Yeah, so what's really neat is because we use Monarch, it's pretty easy for us to track, okay, what did we give, et cetera. So just pulled it out, took some screenshots. The other cool thing that I was reminded of, my company doesn't match up to $5,000. And so—
Awesome.
So to look at our total impact and say, because God blessed us and we were able to give, this is how we should show that his vision that he's given us. And to look at the total impact there it was pretty cool. And it was actually good for us to say, even to pause and say, okay, this is how our giving shook out in 2024. Is there anything we want to adjust in 2025? Is that completely aligned with our family vision, et cetera, which all these things are in some form or fashion. But yeah, it was really neat. And I'm glad you brought up this idea earlier of, okay, when do you start? Because, you know, how much do you share with the kids in the finance or not? When? And it's something where you just start to do. And it is, I think, pretty eye-opening for them. And it's for us, I mean, if giving and the way that we give our lives away, but obviously financially, is where we can store up our treasure in heaven. Like, we keep track of our retirement accounts. I don't keep an annual or a total over time, how much do we give track, but it is, I think, important for us to look and say, wow, what has God been able to do through us? And it does this align with our priorities.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to blur out these numbers. You don't need to, you don't need the whole world to know everything that you're doing, but you have a page here that is about saving.
Yep.
Here's how much we saved. How nutritious is it for a 14-year-old to know how much money you have sacrificially put aside for their college savings? I mean, that would be humbling. I never had access to a number like that as a teen. To realize, wow, my parents are actually thinking about what my education, even if that number is in the hundreds, to go like, wow, I'm a 12-year-old. I haven't thought about college. My parents are. They're thinking about college. You know, these kinds of things, I think that they create the multi-generational engine. I just think that they're building something inside your child. You have two slides on spending. Look, here's our budget. Here's what we spent on housing. Here's what we spent on food. Again, most kids have no fat clue what those numbers look like. My question about these spending numbers are, into how much detail did you get with the kids when you're talking through those kind of annual budget numbers?
So I think if I recall correctly, we got into the giving a little bit and the savings a little bit. I don't think, Laura Vakivianis here, I don't think we went to the detail of the spend with them, but she and I took some extra time to look at actually the second slide, which is essentially the same slide, same numbers, just a more detailed breakdown to look at. Okay, where is all our money going? What are the different categories, et cetera? And you know, for example, you don't remember how much money you spend on the medical bills until you look at it at the end of the year, unless you have, of course, a major issue that you're constantly spending, but it just adds up over time. So it's good to see, for us to talk about, hey, look at our categories. And for us, it was neat. Last year was a bigger vacation year for us. As you mentioned, we went to Disney. That was on the cover. So it's kind of neat to say, oh, yeah, we did invest in our family and some fun as well as the sacrificial part of giving and saving.
That's right. And that's again, forgive me, it's part of financial training to show a child we gave this much. We didn't give willy-nilly. We gave sacrificially and strategically. And we spent a lot. We spent strategically. We didn't say yes to everything we could have done, but we spent a lot of money on things that we think matter. You know, we think that going to Disney is good for our family. That's why we spent that money. It wasn't nothing. It cost us some money. And it's good for a kid to see that, because an 8-year-old might just think, I don't know, you just desire to go to Disneyland and you end up there, you know? So it's really educational for the kid and helps clue them in on what's happening with the family. We don't have to review this at all, but I have to say it. You've got two sheets here that are going over your net worth as a family. That is so cool to like, again, this is it's a kind of scorecard. Is it the most important scorecard? No, your spiritual life is more important. Your relationships are more important. Your physical health is more important. But as we talk on Abraham's Wallet all the time, finances are the most tangible way to learn how to rule. They're the easiest, lowest to the ground. They're right at your fingertips. We deal with money every day. And it is one of the scorecards. If you can learn self-control, if you can learn how to rule, manage, deploy, et cetera, the scriptures are real clear. If you can get this skill down, God will give you authority in other areas. So to say to the kids, here's one scorecard, which is, has our family grown in wealth this year? Even if the answer is no, I'm not here to say that's unrighteous. If crazy circumstances, I got put out of a job, we had medical needs this year, we had to buy a new car, and our wealth didn't grow this year. Okay, that's fine. But it's so helpful to your children and to the ethic of we're in this together, we are a family team, to know what is our scorecard. Yes, spiritually, yes, relational, all the way down to financial. And I'm taking time on this because this is such a black box for most families. They don't talk about it. Nobody knows. The kids don't know. There are many people whose kids don't know the family financial situation until dad dies. Mm. That's when they find out. And I'm here to say that's unrighteous. It's not right. And it doesn't produce training for the children. So anyways, I was thrilled to see these net worth slides. Anything you want to say about how you handled that?
Yeah, I mean, for the net worth stuff, Lori and I looked at it. I have to be honest, we didn't share the net worth with the kids this year, but I'm encouraged by our conversation that we should going forward. And the hesitation that I've had is, I want them to know. I know myself as a teenager, if I would have known my parents' net worth, I would have been tempted to talk about it, but I also wasn't a believer at the time. Thank God my kids are. So that's the one thing where Lori and I reviewed this and we talked about it, but we didn't share this part with the kids, but I'm encouraged by your comments to share it with them, because ultimately, like you said, it's an element of training and it's an element of multi-generational thinking.
Yes.
Because this net worth isn't for us.
Right.
It's for the Lord and for stewarding his money across multiple generations. And to see that that's where we are and that, Lord willing, that will continue to grow, I think is going to be, it would be very impactful for the kids.
Right. You know, think about most 13-year-olds when in late November, you overhear dad and mom and they're saying, if I can close this one sale to end up the year, I think I'll get the bonus. And then come December 8th, they go, we got it. And they're really happy. And as a 13-year-old, you're sitting on the sidelines going, I guess that's adult stuff. I don't think that has anything to do with me. Mm. Boo, boo, parents. It has everything to do with your child. Your child, you're going to have to educate them and bring them along so that they can feel the joy of big sale. We closed a big client. We're so excited. We lost this account, or, you know, we're going to have to, there was a fire at the warehouse. We're going to have to pay for it. You know, whatever the thing is, we can feel that a schism between, are the children really part of the family vision? Are they really aware of what's happening with the family? Or is it like, you could sit over there, we'll let you know when piano lessons are, you know?
I
really want them to come up in an understanding of what it means to lead a family. One of the things is, you have girls, I have girls. One of the things is, without saying it, you don't ever have to bring this up in any of your family reviews, you are describing to them in great detail what a responsible husband and father looks like. And if they start dating some ding dong who doesn't even know how much money he has in the bank, they're going to think, family finances are a lot more complicated than how much is in your checking account. This guy's going to have to get with it, or we're going to find a different dude. And I just like that. I like that cold water of, this is what real life is. This is what it means to run a family. Yes, it's love and hugs and fun at the park, and it's also being a good manager. So I just love all of the details that you're putting in front of your family.
Well, I've got to give a little plug to Mark and the Outpost Advisors team, because they made it really easy for us to go in and pull this.
Awesome.
Working with them and the team. So that was cool.
Great. Well, the last thing, your last group of slides was, in your review, you did for each member of the family, starting with yourself. I always like when dad puts himself in under the microscope first, and you walked through five capitals. What were the five capitals like for you for the year? And then you did a slide for each person. How did they grow in five capitals? I think it's brilliant. Any thoughts on any suggestions or thoughts on that move?
I loved it. Again, this was the time, in addition to when we're looking at last year and what were your favorite memories, this is the time I got to spend with each one of them individually and say, okay, so what happened spiritually? Okay. And, you know, with the kids, you have to jog their memory a little bit. And that's why having the photos there is helpful. But it was pretty neat for them to think holistically about who they are in Christ and in these five areas of their life, because there's no human being that doesn't have these five areas of their life where they need to be investing in. And so for them to think holistically and not just, oh, am I doing good at school, or am I doing good at my sports team, or what have you, it was pretty cool. And like we said, certain, you know, the financial goals are there even for a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, but they may be less of a focus than the relational goals, and that's okay. But to consider each of the areas was really cool, and it was a really neat jumping off point for conversations in each one of these areas.
Yeah. Well, you close off the slideshow with a rock and roll roller coaster family photo. And then you say, like, we're looking forward to the year to come. And I can only imagine, having done this myself with my wife for years, that just the process of reviewing creates so much motivation for the year to come, because you realize, wow, we did have spiritual opportunities. Oh God, did I make the most of them? Probably not, because I didn't even recognize how important they were. Oh, we gave this much money. Man, I should keep my eyes open for the things that God wants us giving to. Oh, I've got to do that. So just walking through with this granular of a review, it just changes the posture of the family for the year to come. And I cannot imagine that your next year's review could possibly be worse. I can only imagine that, well, it's going to be better, of course, because what I said at the beginning, that what's measured is what gets done. So anyways, I'm so inspired and encouraged by seeing this, and I cannot conceive of how formative it is to your children to walk through this. So on behalf of the kingdom and other Abrahamic families, thank you, Doug, and thank you, Cushion family, for doing this. I find it amazing, and I really want other people to use this tool. So because you used it, in the show notes of this episode, we will put the Abe's Wallet Summit Guide. Mm-hmm. And we will also publish a redacted version of this slideshow. If you need it as a template to help you get started, obviously you don't have to do a slideshow, but to review what God's done in your family, so wise. Any final thoughts for us on this?
Yeah, Stephen, one again, thank you and Mark for all your guidance. I would say even just for doing the podcast itself, for guiding me and Lori through establishing our family vision, and for encouraging men everywhere to be Abrahamic leaders. It's really challenged me to step up, I would say, into the role that God has for me. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for all he's doing in our lives, and to have an amazing partner in Lori, just to be doing this together. She's been on board 100%. To encouraging us to live our family vision out and to live on mission together. And it's such a gift to have, obviously, such an amazing wife like that who's partnering with us, and to have an awesome family. I'm really grateful to the Lord for our family and for what he's doing in our lives. And if this can help anybody, then praise God for that.
What a blessing. Well, thanks for being a blessing, and great job Abrahamically leading your family, Doug.